and take our Bibles open to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter number 17. We are going to stay inside the book of Luke this morning, but we're going to fast forward a few chapters to talk about giving thanks a little bit. Luke chapter number 17, we're going to look at a very famous story when it comes to Thanksgiving. We're going to look at the healing of the 10 leopards this morning, and the title of this morning's message is, Where Are the Nine? And as most of you know the story, that Jesus heals 10 leopards, and one comes back and gives thanks and gives glory to God, and the other nine do not. So since we were already going to be in the book of Luke, where we just fast forward a few chapters tonight, we're going to look at how to express our thanks to God. God's been working on my heart and speaking to my heart about this Thanksgiving season is about not just being thankful for things, but being thankful to God. Many of us are thankful and we're grateful for a good home maybe, or good health, or whatever it is that we go across the room, but we must never lose sight of the fact that we should be thankful to God. He's one that provides everything's good, everything that's, it comes from above, and God provides it. So often, as you went back and you asked these 10 leopards, 9 of them that did not come back and glorify God, they would say, we were grateful for what he did, we were thankful for what he did, but they did not take the time to say thank you to God. And I think it's important that we learn to not just say, I'm thankful for my family, thankful for my church, I'm thankful for this. We're thankful to God first. Many times we're thankful for, but we forget to be thankful to the one who has provided for us. Today, when we look at this story, it's a simple message. We're going to look at verses 11 through 19. We're going to see 4 different points here. Let's go ahead and read the story to begin with, have a little bit of a commentary of what's going on, and let's look here in the Bible. The Word of God says in Luke 17, verse number 11, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem. Now, we'll remember at this point in time, he has already put his face toward Jerusalem. He's headed to the cross. He is going to die for the sins of mankind. And you'll see as we get to the chapters before and after, he stops and he shows compassion on many. He heals many, but he is focused. He is going to the cross, and we can be focused also. We can be focused on getting to heaven, but we do not forget those that are in need around us. But we see here in a kingdom pass as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through in the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now remember, the Samaritans are a group of people that the Jewish people do not like. They're very prejudiced towards them. They consider them half-breeds in a sense because they were Jews that had went out and married other people from other nations. And so they really looked at them very hateful way. They consider them dogs. But Jesus, you see, will reach out many times, not just to the Jews, but also to the Samaritans. And we know about that a little bit already from the things we learned from the book of Luke. And it says, as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. And this word lepers means that they have a disease called leprosy. And we'll talk about that condition in a minute. It says, which stood afar off. You say, well, why did they stand afar off? Well, the disease of leprosy meant that according to the Talmud or to the Jewish law of that day, they had to at least stay 6 feet away from another individual. It was against the law for them to be close or have contact with anybody that did not have leprosy. And if the wind was blowing, they actually had to stay 150 feet away from them. And it's because of the fact that it is a very, very, very contagious disease. So these are people who did not come close to anyone else except for others that had leprosy. They would travel many times in packs. They would have leopard colonies. Well, these 10, they stand far off. And it says in verse 13, and they had lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, they hear about Jesus. How did they hear about Jesus? We don't know. Maybe it was blind Bartimaeus. Maybe it was a woman with the issue of blood. We go back to Luke chapter number 5. There's a story of leprosy, and it talks about how Jesus touches that man and he is healed completely. These 10 are there. They heard about Jesus somehow. Maybe the word was getting through the leopard colonies and maybe they knew some about this man Jesus. They heard he was coming. They stand afar off and they start crying out to him. They cry out to him. They recognize him as Master, which meant that they knew he was in control, and they recognize him that he had something that no one else had. And then he said, have mercy on us. Let's keep on going. And it says, and verse number 14, and when he saw them, now many people, when they saw lepers, they would run the other way. But he speaks to them and he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. So I want you to see here in the story that Jesus doesn't go over and doesn't touch him like he did to the leper in Luke chapter number 5. And maybe they were expecting that. We don't know what they were thinking, but he says to them, go and show thyself to the priest. So it says, as they left and as they were following his command, as they began to obey, they were cleansed. And so there's some thoughts there, and there's some points in there that as we go faithfully doing what God's called us to, God will bless us. And let's keep on going. And it says in verse number 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. So there was one, and I can imagine, you can picture this, there are 10 men, they're there, and they're yelling to him, asking him to have mercy. He says, go and turn and go to the priest. And as they turn, maybe they look at themselves, but as they're walking away, they're cleansed. Maybe the one leper looked to the other leper and said, hey, look, that spot that was on your face is gone. And maybe they looked at one another and says, your spots are gone. And they look at their bodies, and their bodies are completely healed. One realizes this, and he turns, and he does something different than anyone out, any of the other nine does. He stops, and he glorified God. And then it says in verse number 16, I think he probably ran up to Jesus after he was glorifying God, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So we see in the picture here, kind of gives us the connotation the other nine were probably Jews. We don't know that to be sure, but we know that the one, the Samaritan, the one that the Jews usually hated, didn't matter. They were all sick. They kind of hung out with each other. Verse number 17, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? He says, look, there was a lot of people who got helped, but where are the 9? What a question. He's looking and he's considering this thought. Now, who is he talking to? You know, it says, he didn't look to him and say, you weren't the only one cleansed. Where's your friends at? So he's talking out loud, and he's using this as an opportunity to teach his disciples and teach those that are around them. He says, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? And he's teaching them a principle here that it's important to give God the glory he deserves, to give God the praise he deserves, to give God the honor he deserves. Make sure we take time. And I think when it comes to being thankful, and there it's what are we thankful for? When it comes, takes time to be grateful, what are we grateful for? All 10 were thankful and grateful that they got healed. There was one who recognized who healed them. All of us are thankful and grateful for many things, but there is one who provides it for us. So it's the difference between being thankful for much and the difference between being thankful to the one who provides it first and foremost. And that's an interesting phrase in verse number 18. He turned to give glory to God. There's a verse found in Psalms 29:2. I gave it at our senior luncheon. We're going to talk about it a little bit tonight too. It says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And that's your memory verse for the week that's in the bulletin. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. And my encouragement this morning to you is make sure you give God the glory he deserves. He is deserved. Worthy of all praise, all honor, and all glory. And as we see, kind of Thanksgiving is kind of the interlude into our Christmas season, and it kind of ushers in the what people call the holiday season. I like to call it the Christmas season. And you know, it enters into this. Make sure that we're being thankful and grateful to God first and foremost. Nothing wrong with being thankful for families, being thankful for items, being thankful for health. But let's remember who gives us that. Because I love that verse. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Make sure we're giving God the glory. This man, it says here specifically, he says that he stopped to give thanks. But then Jesus asks this question. And then in verse number 19, it says, there are not found that returned. In verse 18, there are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. It doesn't say these guys didn't turn around and give thanks. Why didn't he come and say thank you? He says, there is not them that return to give glory to God. You can be thankful about something and not give glory to God. Let's make sure we're always giving glory to God. Let's keep on going here. And it says in verse number 19, it says, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith had made thee whole. I like that. This Samaritan, he's teaching the disciples here. He says, and he looks at them, he says, arise, go thy way. Thy faith had made thee whole. You know, the difference was that he was made whole. He said, well, all of them got cleansed. Well, I think what the Bible is teaching us here is there is one that not only got healed physically, he also got healed spiritually that day. You know, there was nine that got physically healed that did not have leprosy, but there was one who we can see that he gave thanks, and you don't get saved by giving thanks, but he recognized who God was, and by his faith, God is saying, he's saying to him, you've been made whole. Praise the Lord. This man got not only leprosy cleaned, he also got a way to go to heaven too. What there's some wonderful things here. Let's look at these things. First thing I want you to see here, and I want to remind you of, it's found in verse number 12. It's the leper's condition. The leper's condition. That's our first point, our first slide, the leper's condition. It says, they stood afar off. Leprosy was something that was deeper than skin. It spread. It defiled. It was something that isolates people from others. It destined for the fire. It was doomed. It was afflicted. It's a clear picture of what sin does to humanity. It's something that defiles us. It's something that spreads amongst us. It's something that isolates us from those that are doing what's right. See, leprosy is a very, very sick disease. It happens underneath the skin. It begins to come out. It begins to show. It begins to rot. It causes your skin and portions of your skin to stink and to rot. And to the point that it actually causes to deteriorate parts of your body where you might lose limbs and other parts of your fingers. One of the worst things about leprosy is that it causes you not to feel pain. It's like if you're there and you're working, you're trying to do something and you hit it, you don't even realize if it's hot or if it's painful and things like that. And that many times it caused their body to even break quicker because they did not know, they had no sensitivity. And this leper's condition was horrible. It was something that took men away from their wives, men away from their family, ladies away from their families. It was something that was very, very dangerous and very contagious. And you know what happens? You know what the Bible says here? Jesus healed it. And praise the Lord that, you know, the leper's condition is really in a really, really bad thing. There's no one else that can heal it. I think it's kind of interesting. And Jesus turns and tells him, go to the priest. And I found this when I was studying and when I was thinking about this in Luke, I think it's Leviticus chapter number 14. There's a spot in there that's written to the priest that said, under the law, what you're supposed to do. Okay, once you get healed of leprosy, you go to the priest and show to the priest that you've been clean. So what's the big deal about that, Pastor? Well, you think about it. If you go throughout all the Bible and throughout all history, no one got cleansed of leprosy after the law until Jesus came. So I can imagine for those hundreds or maybe a couple thousand years that the law was written before Jesus came, they were like thinking, why would somebody need to go show the priest? No one after the law was given was ever healed of leprosy. Why is that even there? No one had ever done that. And then these ten, and the guy from Luke chapter number 5, and anyone else that Jesus healed from leprosy would go to the priest and said, I've been clean. And I'm sure they would tell him how the story happened. This man, Jesus, he healed me of the leprosy. I'm clean. Look, there's nothing on me. There's no more spots. There's no more decay. There's no more deterioration. And the priests are some of the people who do not believe in Jesus. They don't believe he's the one true. If anything, that this man was healed from leprosy, you would think, oh, that would cause that person to repent and get right with God. You know what? I think it's amazing the fact that Jesus is the only one that could heal it. And it was written back in the law that they said. Now you say, well, Pastor, Naaman was done. I know Naaman, and Naaman was not a Jew that was healed. He would have never went to a priest, right? And why would he do that? And you think, well, what about Miriam? Well, that was before the law was given. And so here's the point in the picture of the story is that no one can heal leprosy back then. I know there's medicines nowadays, but the Jewish culture that day was one of the most feared diseases. Of all 64 different diseases that they talk about, it was the most feared disease in all the Bible. And Jesus could help them. See, in the Bible, sin, leprosy is a picture of sin. And we talked a little bit about how it defiles and how it corrupts. But that day, Jesus was able to do something nobody else could do. Just like the sin problem you have in your life, only Jesus can fix. There's only one person that can save you from your sin problem, and that is Jesus Christ. I think it's kind of neat when you think about it. The one who returned was the Samaritan, and Jesus had told those 10 to go. The Samaritan would never have been able to see the priest. He was not a Jew. The priest would have never even looked at the Samaritan. He didn't need to go to the priest. See, under the law, all nine of those had to go to the priest, but there was one who met with grace. See, under the law, all nine had to go and do what the priest told them to do. But there was one who understood the grace of God. He did not need to go to the priest. He went to Jesus instead. And what we need to be thankful for today is the grace that God offers us. And there's a difference between law and grace. Under the law, it teaches us that we need grace. And grace is the one that shows us that we need a Savior. Second thing I want you to see here. The first thing is the leper's condition. The second thing I want you to see from verse number 13 is the leper's cry. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, this cry is a cry of faith. A cry of faith that Jesus could heal them. Remember, we do not know how they heard. Maybe it was the woman at the well. Maybe it was the bowed man from earlier, or the man with the dropsies, or Jairus' daughter, or those that were obsessed with the demons, or the blind, or the multitudes, or Bartimaeus. There was much, much talk of this Jesus that could heal them. And those 10, they believed that Jesus could heal them, and they cry out, and they ask Jesus for help. There's a couple things you got to remember when you cry out. Number one is that He is Master. He is Lord. If you ever truly want to become a Christian, you ever truly want to be saved, if you ever truly repent of your sins, you got to see Him as Lord and Savior and Master, and you need to cry out for mercy. These men understood that Jesus did not have to help them. These men understood that it was only by His mercy that He would be willing to help them. They recognized His power. They recognized His authority to heal. They did what every sinner needs to do, cry out to Jesus, because He's the only one who has the power to deliver a lost person from their sins. And He cries out and says, come, Jesus' call is come unto me. We knew He wasn't going to say no. We knew He wasn't going to send them away. We knew that He was going to be merciful. And we know when we cry out to God, God will hear and answer our prayers. Isn't it wonderful? We were in a messed up state, and when we cry it out to God, recognizing Him as Lord and saying, Lord, I need Your help, and we know what salvation is, recognizing ourselves that we have a sin problem, and we're desperate and lost without Christ, and saying, God, I need You. I need You to save me. Next thing I want you to see here, not only is it the leper's condition, the leper's cry, I want you to think about Christ's compassion for a second. And remember where He was. He's headed to the cross. He's busy. He has something on His mind. He is headed to die for the sins of mankind. But He has a divine appointment here. It's not something He has done on His own. It's not something He went looking for. Did He know it was going to happen? Of course He did. He was God. But at the same time, he is heading down this spot, and He's walking down this space, and someone cries out to Him. Someone has a need, and He listens to that need, and He responds to that need. Most people that would have saw the lepers, they would have just stomped up their ears and kept on walking. They would have had nothing to do with them. And I want you to understand Jesus' compassion here. He has a tremendous compassion. Under the law, they deserved nothing. Under the law, this was a death warrant. Jesus owed them nothing, but when they met Him, He gave them grace. We are not deserving of God's grace. We've gotten used to it sometimes. And that's what I'm telling you, that we've gotten used to all the good things that we have here in America. And I know some of us are going through hardships and some of us are going through hard times, but we must be remembering to be thankful, not only for our things, but thankful for God and the grace of God, and that He's the one, that only one that can save us. So we see His perception. See, He saw far more than their outward condition. He saw the deepest need that was their heart. He wanted to do more than just heal their bodies. He wanted to help them also spiritually. See, many people think they need money, health, and things, but the greatest need an individual has is Jesus Christ. His plan was to do things God's way. You look at what Jesus does with His compassion. He goes and He tells them something, but they must respond and move by faith. You know, sometimes we turn around and we say, God, I want You to do this for me. God, help me. But never take a step of faith towards it. Look what it says in verse number 14. And when He saw them, He said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. I think this is an important characteristic that we understand about the compassion of God. We had to have faith, and that faith needs to have feet that will do it. You say, I want a better house. Well, then husbands, start loving your wives. Love wives, start submitting to your husbands. Children, start obeying your parents. So what does that have to do with having a better house? That means I believe and I cry out to God and ask God for mercy. I recognize Him as Master and Commander, and I am turning away from what I used to do, and I believe by faith God can make these things happen, what should happen. We many times we ask, God, we want to see more people saved. We want to see our church grow. And we cry out to God, and God says, okay, go you into all the world. And we don't go. Be a witness. We're not a witness. Pray. We don't pray. Yeah, he tells them something. It says, as they went to the priest, they got cleansed. I want you to understand, he perceived them as the need that they had, his plan, but look at the power he had underneath his compassion. As soon as they turned and obeyed the Lord's command, they were healed. Every sign of their disease disappeared from their body. And that's what Jesus does for all that come to him. You know, the moment that I turn from my sins and turn from my wicked ways and turn to Christ and believe and trust in him, you know what happens? He heals me. He heals me completely and spiritually forever. He gives me a home in heaven. It's this idea here. Some people say, I don't know if I can get saved. I don't know if God can. The Bible says he gives us eternal life, everlasting life. And this is something it's the power that God has. How can he do that? That's who God is. That's his compassion. Not only is the leper's condition I want you to think about and the leper's cry, I want you to see Christ's compassion. I also want you to see Christ's consideration. Look what it says in verses 17 and 18. Jesus is considering some things here. You know what he's considering? He's saying, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Now, he knew that there was 10 cleansed. He's teaching somebody. So we need to take time to look at this. This was important enough for him to take notice of and put in the word of God. And he's saying, where are the 9? And when we consider this question, he wants you to be thinking, okay, am I thankful? But it's even a step farther than am I thankful. Look what it says in verse number 18. He says, there are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. And he says to him, look, they're not giving God the glory. People can say thank you many different ways. Sometimes sincerely, sometimes out of a feel like they have to. But they're saying that this one was willing to give God the glory. Our theme this year for our church is declare his glory. And declare means to say explicitly, to make known, to have no one not know that what we're trying to say. We're going to declare it. And what are we trying to declare? God's glory, the beauty of God, the magnificence of God, the splendor of God. And that's what he's saying, that there is only one that took time to say, God, I believe that you're magnificent. I believe that you are beautiful. I believe I see what you do. I know who you are. And God, I just want to take time to worship you and say, thank you, Lord, for all the things you've done for me. Lord, it's only because of you that I am saved and on my way to heaven. There's only good, the only good things that come for me is from you. And God, you've provided this for me and you've provided that for me and you've done this for me and you've done that for me. I'm not a self-made man. And what God has made me to be. See, there's a difference between being thankful for and being thankful to. Should we be thankful for? Yes. But we should not forget to be thankful to. So consider this. Christ considered those who did not give thanks, and Christ considered the one who did give thanks. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? He knows if you're thankful or not. On Tuesday night, we're going to have a time where people come up and praise the Lord and thank the Lord. And we're thankful for those things. I like the service. But Christ can look right into our heart and can see if we're really, truly thankful or not. You know, sometimes we go around the room, we're asking people, okay, everybody say something you're thankful for. And I do that sometimes with teenagers because if you don't force them to say something, they're not going to participate. It's not that they're not thankful, they're just backwards sometimes, or they want to be cool, or this or that. And so sometimes it's, please, everybody say something you're thankful for. Everybody has something they can be thankful for. And then Christ says, look, not only do I see those who are thankful, I also see those who are not thankful. I don't want God to think of me as a person who's not thankful. I don't want God to think of me as someone who does not want to glorify him. He tells us to declare his glory to the nations. But how can we declare his glory when we do not take the time to give him the glory due his name? Psalms 29:2 says, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Do we do that? Do we really take the time to say, God is worthy of all praise and glory, and I'm going to take the time to give him glory today. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to take the time to recognize him and just see him for the beauty and the magnificence and the splendor. You know, he does it through salvation. He does it through protection. He does it through provision. He does it through so many things. But how often do we really stop and say, thank you, Lord, just because of who you are, just because of the things you've done? We should give him the glory that is due his name. And you see that verse says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. In the beauty of holiness, in a right life, we should worship the Lord. That's how we can give glory to his name. So tonight, when we look at different ways to express our thanks to God, there are different ways we can express our thanks. I encourage you to come back tonight. We're going to look at five or six things, I think, that says, this is how you express thanks to God. You know, some people do it through a thank you card. Some people do it through a thank you text. Some people do it in person. But if we want to know how to express thankfulness to God, come back tonight. There's going to be five or six different things that expresses the thankfulness of God. It's different than how we express it to other people. But this morning, you see these leopards' conditions. You see the leopards' cry. You see Christ's compassion. But what about his considerations? We're good with all this, but when we come to pack, what does Christ think of me? Does he see me as a person that's thankful? Does he see me as a person that is unthankful? This week, I know it's Thanksgiving, and we want to be thankful people, that's for sure. Let's see how Christ would see us. He says here in this, he says, were there not nine? He says, I've helped a lot of people. Were there not nine more? And he doesn't say, oh, they didn't come back and they didn't write me a thank you card. They're not grateful. No, they're grateful for what happened, but they refuse to give God the glory. And we can be thankful for a lot of things without giving God truly the glory. Tonight we're going to look at some different ways where we can give God the glory. One last thought. He said to this man in verse number 19, he says, thy faith had made thee whole. He says his faith. He says, Pastor, nowhere does it say anything about his faith. Well, he says that this man came back and gave glory to God. So he recognized him as God. He knew that he was God, and his faith had made him whole. Let me contend to you today that these nine that walked away from Christ without saying thank you, from what I'm getting from the scriptures and from what I'm seeing, what Christ is implying, that there was one that was made whole, that was helped physically and spiritually both. I tell you, there's a lot of people that benefit from the world that God lives in, the world that God's created. A lot of people that have been benefited by the physical things of this world. But there's only some that have been benefited from the spiritual things of this world. There's only a few that have truly been made whole. And thankful that we have a church today that many people profess to be a Christian and on their way to heaven. But don't forget this. Have you been made whole? Have you had that cry of the leopard that says, Master, have mercy on us. Not just for physical things, but the great spiritual need that you have. It would be better to die a leopard and spend eternity in heaven than to get cleansed from leprosy and spend maybe 20, 30, 40 more years and die and spend eternity in hell. Are you a Christian this morning? Have you been made whole? If we cry out to God, recognizing him as Savior, he will help you. There is no other way to fix the sin problem. There is no other cure at that point in time for leprosy. There is no other help but what Jesus had to offer. Today, be thankful for him. Glorify God with your body and with your life. Tonight we're going to express how to glorify your God. But today, are you made whole? And if you are a Christian, are you thankful? Does your life glorify God? We're all thankful, but are we thankful for the things? Are we thankful to him first? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.